Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Kirolis, how are you doing, my elder?
I think I'm doing well, and how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I cannot complain. just the weather. Otherwise, everything is fine. Your side?
Amen. Amen. Well, we have sunny weather, so we are glad.
Oh, lovely. Cape Town and, is fantastic.
But we're glad anyway. We're glad in the rain. We're glad in the sun. You know, God is still good. He's still on the throne.
Lovely, lovely. Well, we're going to be continuing with our study and the fantastic messages we heard from you yesterday, and we're going to be let's look at 1 Kings 19 verse 11 to 13. It says, "And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face and his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now, my elder, what does spiritual prompting feel like? Is it a strong intuition, gentle whisper, a clear sense of direction, or something else? I mean, you can see in the previous verses, lots of actions happening there. But what does it feel like, spiritual prompting?
Well, as we said yesterday, that a spiritual prompting is a gentle nudge in a direction, whether it is what you have to decide, whether it's what you have to do or say. But the way it comes is, so the way the spiritual prompting comes is in different ways. It can come in different ways. We find that in the what you have just read, there is Elijah on the mountain, and it's in a still small voice instead of an earthquake or a mighty rushing wind. And as we said, you know, the reason why we sometimes can't discern between it is because we sometimes look for it in ways that we think it should be. But when we think of how God spoke to men and men of old, and through the Holy Spirit, it's always been gentle, and it's always been in an orderly fashion, and it's also always been a copy or an echo of the Word. So when we talk about spiritual promptings from the Holy Spirit, that's what it is. It is a reminder of what you have learned before. And it's the Holy Spirit telling you, this is the way, walk in it, reminding you about the way all the time. Jesus says, I am the way, and Jesus is also the Word. So the Holy Spirit is telling us what the Word is actually telling us to do.
Quite interesting there. Now, we often hear the Spirit referred to as a still small voice, as you also alluded to. Why is he so gentle? I mean, why does he speak? Why doesn't he speak in a loud, booming voice so that there's no confusion or debate about exactly if this is him? Is that him? Is that not him? I mean, if the voice is distinct, bold, loud, no one can miss it. But why a small voice? Is it timid?
Well, because one thing I can say is that God speaks in a gentle way so that he does not instill fear in us. You know, God has created us with a free will, and he wants us to make a decision based on love for him instead of fear. So if God were to speak with lightning and thunder, with regards to spiritual promptings, then we would make decisions out of fear. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. And you know, you can clearly hear when someone has a sound mind, this calm, this serenity, there's a peace. And the spirit then obviously leads those clearly who are humble and attentive. And it's people who are in tune with God, who know about these spiritual promptings, because Jesus said, "My sheep hears my voice; they know me. When I call, they know my voice and they follow as well." So I think to answer the question in a short way, if we are likened to sheep, the way you deal with sheep is in a gentle way, not in an intrusive, abrupt way.
I hear that. Now, Abraham, he was instructed to sacrifice his son, and the Israelites were often instructed to destroy their enemies, including innocent women and children. Can one be prompted by the Spirit to do things that seem quite strange, at times contradiction to God's commandments?
Well, it will never be in contradiction to God's command. Remember, when God commands to take life, it is because God is the owner of life. So it's not the taking of one's life, but rather, you know, because it's like stealing. When we take someone's life, we are taking something that does not belong to us. With God, it's different. So in the example you've made, we have to look at it as God taking what belongs to him anyway. But the answer to the question then is that God will never then therefore ask us to do anything that contradicts his moral law. Abram's command in Genesis 22 was a test of faith, not a violation of commandment, as I've just explained. And in any case, God takes away any doubt, because he stops him before any harm is done to the boy. You know, just to show that this is a test. This is not what I am actually really wanting you to do. That what I want to do is to show every generation after this the faith of Abraham and those who are then called Abraham's seed. So commands to Israel regarding warfare was a unique thing. God was the leader at that time. It was theocratic and part of divine judgment, not man's decision to do those things. So they don't justify personal violence today. So no one can say God has called me now to go and hit someone, or God has called me to do harm to someone. Any prompting that contradicts God's revealed will in his word is not from the Spirit, because the Spirit gives what has already been given. The Spirit always speaks according to the law and the testimony.
Yeah. Now, let's go to the Apostle Paul, my elder. Now, the Apostle recognized God's voice while he was still working against God. So, does one really need to be in a personal relationship to know who God is, or to even know his voice?
Well, not initially, as we see with the example you are giving. Before Paul had given his heart to the Lord, while he was still Saul, he was an enemy of Christ. When Jesus spoke to him, he was busy persecuting, not because God was giving command, but he was persecuting and really believing that he was doing the right thing. But when Jesus stops him on the road to Damascus, Jesus uses a word that is also a term for spiritual prompting. He says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And why are you kicking against the pricks?" So spiritual promptings in this case are called pricks. You know, when your heart is pricked, God can speak to anyone, even the ungodly. We know when with the case of Balaam, when God spoke through a donkey, Balaam was also on his way to do something that he wasn't supposed to do. However, ongoing clarity comes through a relationship with God. That is why he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. When he stops Saul, he has to identify himself. It is I whom, why are you persecuting me? And he has to identify who he is, that it's Jesus, and you are kicking against pricks. So, but when you become a sheep of God, when you become a follower of Christ, then you hear his voice. You are in tune with the word because you've read the word, you've studied the word. And so spiritual maturity and growth increases that discernment. And the more time we spend with God, the better we recognize his voice. So the Holy Spirit has got a twofold ministry. Firstly, it is to convict us. And the conviction can come to those who are following God and also those who are not following God. But when we choose to go with the conviction, with the spiritual prompting of the Holy Spirit, and the more we do so, the more we are in tune with God, and we recognize his voice in our lives more clearly. And he doesn't even have to introduce himself because the word they would be backing him anyway.
So you're saying what would have caused Saul then to recognize that no man? This is God. I mean, they had no relationship. So was it guessing?
Yeah. So when God speaks to the unbeliever, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we find that God uses miracles to speak to unbelievers. And in 1 Corinthians 14, he uses, in fact, I can also use Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, the miracle of speaking a language that you've never learned or that you didn't grow up with, speaking in a tongue that's foreign to you. Being able to do that is a miracle. And in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that the miracles are for the, that speaking in tongues, that miracle is for the unbeliever. So something God chooses to ratify his own voice to the unbeliever, he normally also uses signs, you know, physical things, because the one who lives by faith does not live by sight. But one who does not live by faith lives by sight. So God normally also gives a sign. And in Saul's case, you find Jesus speaking to him, but he's also struck blind. And of course, then he's led to the house of Simon, and while he's there, God then also reveals to Saul in a vision. He later explains, God gives him a vision of what Jesus had done and how Jesus had lived. And he becomes an eyewitness. While he's blind, he becomes an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. So again, for the believer, God does not need to give a sign, because the believer lives by faith. And to live by faith means to live by the light, the word, the information that God has already given. It's living daily by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the unbeliever may need a sign, but not God's children. All they need is God's voice through his revealed will in his word, and they follow that voice.
Oh, beautiful, man. Well, my elder, I must thank you so much for coming through. We will connect with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. But for this afternoon, blessings to you, and thank you for coming through.
Thank you so much, and have a good day further. God bless you and the listeners.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.